I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
G'day, pop pickers. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. England are away in Prague this evening. Sergio Ramos could make history, and Rebecca Vardy's been naughty. I knew it was you, Rebecca. I knew it was you.
Wow.
Luke, Pete, Jimmy and me.
Hello.
All right.
It's Friday. It's international weekend. So let's talk about two women having a scrap.
Peter.
Yeah. Yo.
We have to say it's not Friday.
It is Friday.
It is Friday. Well, it is Friday, yeah. But we're recording on Thursday, of course, just in case that Wales get beaten 6-0 or
okay,
something like
right,
that.
Okay.
So the home nations, other than England, we cannot cover.
It's a day.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But England, of course, are away in Prague tonight, which shouldn't cause too many problems, should it?
I like it in Prague. It's a nice city.
No, but you're
nice
a city. Cheap tequila, I seem to recall.
Destroyed by stag do's, though.
Destroyed by stag do's, yeah.
Very much enjoying the local food and drink there.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, Luke, you're, on the contrary to popular opinion, you are a cultured and well-behaved individual.
Incorrect.
And you said, you know, I like Prague, and I could see you out there having a good time going to watch the game. Peter Meadley comes in with cheap tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Dos cerveza, por favor.
Uh-huh. It works anyway, doesn't it? It's not an English-speaking country.
Yeah. Well, we hope it's not going to cause too many problems.
Of course
problems.
We do. Yeah, they tried to get the game moved, but they haven't. So the game...
Well, just for us, so we could talk about it.
I think that would have
I imagine that there's a lot of England fans going out there and having a lovely time.
Well, yeah. If lovely time involves... making it a misery for the locals. Let's hope they don't, though.
I think the locals will be fortified because, as Jim said, it is a stag do hotspot.
Yeah, they might not even notice.
They might not even notice. Yeah.
Oh, is there a match on? This is the usual.
So we get all the dickheads, but there's also a football match.
This is the reason.
James Maddison's obviously not going to be a part of it. He's pulled out late on due to illness.
Yes.
Shame.
Yeah, shame for him. If England win here, they'll have qualified.
In England's squad's past, he'd never get back in. Anything like that.
You've had your chance.
Yeah.
See you later.
Well, his illness, you say?
Apparently so, yeah.
Has he rubbed Southgate up the wrong way?
No, I don't think he's not done
by being a fancy boy.
I tried to plant a spellsy wicked whisper into his mind, Daddy, but he wasn't having it. My wicked whisper was going to be the cynic in me thinks that because he's got a bit of a reputation as being a bit of a what's-it, James Maddison.
He's a mercurial talent.
And speculation has mounted that the thing that's been the biggest barrier to him actually featuring more for England is the fact that he's a bit like that.
He's a bit of a Royster.
And it doesn't fit into the squad that Southgate's trying to generate. I wondered whether Southgate said, you're going to have to wait a bit longer until you start. You're not in my plans for the game against Czech Republic. And he's thrown a hissy fit and said he was ill. That's the wicked whisper I've completely made up.
I don't think that's getting into Mark's head.
You having that one, J-Cam?
Well, given that you've just told me you've made it up.
But it's possible.
You made it up, Luke.
Yeah, but Maguire's magic though. Maguire's like the unicorn rather than the Maguire.
What happened there?
He rode the unicorn, didn't he?
Yeah, but
we're Maddison, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm saying so. Maddison is the unicorn.
Oh,
because he's magical and weird, and he doesn't belong in this world.
What about that unicorn you rode in Menorca?
He's not involved.
All right.
Yeah, he was a knockoff, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That one wasn't actually magic, Marcus.
Okay.
No.
So it's speculation based on stuff that we know to be true, but it is still speculation.
Right.
I'm just putting it out
what
there.
What sort of weird power trip is this? We're trying to sort of convince us of very something.
Well, the whole show. Telling us. This whole project. How long have you got?
Yeah. Well, Maddison's not there. That we can all agree on.
Coward.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because he thinks he's too good for everybody else, apparently.
He's going to declare for Spain.
Indeed. Southgate would have worked at him at under 21 level, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I can't think of I'm sure he has under 21 caps, but, you know, Southgate's on top of it, so Gareth knows what he's doing.
It's a lot easier to not worry about it when you've got things going all right. Yeah, apparently Maddison played 9 times for the under 21, he's been involved.
He's been involved. Delph has pulled out through injury. Mm. Nothing, there's no naughtiness going on there. He's a good, honest professional, Luke.
Well, I'll decide.
Well, clearly you will.
I heard he brought an air pistol as trainer.
Yeah. I've heard he's been smuggling exotic animals and it's started to catch up with
him.
Because Gareth's doing a good job and everyone likes him, and I'm broadly in support of that. Are we not saying that anything about Southgate repeatedly saying that he's picking players who are playing and he's picking players as a meritocracy and then picking Delph?
Yeah.
Are we not?
Delph's playing for Everton.
He's playing in and out, but he's not playing very well.
And Delph played well the other week. I think he got man of the match the other week.
He's not played every game. He's not playing consistently well for Everton because no one at Everton is playing consistently well.
But he is playing consistently. Well, Delph's not in the squad anymore.
I think Delph...
Maybe Southgate injured him.
Delph is a bit of a Swiss Army knife, though, isn't he? So it's. I think that might be a kind of exception to that. He's going to have flexibility within his own
really
plans.
You really have got to be in your bonnet about this meritocracy thing. You've been really trying to push this. And I'm sorry, I don't think Delph is your answer.
With any squads, though, you need a little bit of variation, don't you? Someone who can come in and do something a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
But he has been playing, and he has had...
His
I understand,
team are shite at the moment. They are so what shite really do?
But he did get... I think pretty sure he got man of the match recently. Yeah. But is there anyone else in there? I mean, what about...
Well, I would say Dean Henderson has almost been picked by Chris Wilder. Has he not?
Well, my point about Delph was just that he's not playing regularly. He's played 5 out of 8 games. He's played just over half the games because Silva can't decide what midfield he wants to play. So he's suffering from that. I'm not necessarily blaming him. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that it's interesting. I don't have a particular problem with it, but I do think it's interesting that Southgate will say one thing and regularly do another.
But when you're saying regularly do another, pick out another person in that squad that you would
think. He's picked players all through his career at England that haven't been playing necessarily regularly. We went through a big phase of it about 6 months ago when players weren't playing for their teams but were still getting picked.
Okay.
But he's trying to strike a balance, isn't he?
I'm just saying he doesn't need to say it. He doesn't really need to say it.
But he's saying it because he's trying to get the young players involved more as well. There could be an element of... one or two players who can declare for other nations.
Yeah, give Abraham a game. Get him in there.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And Tomori, there was some sort of quotes and stuff, but he said it was never really in doubt. But I mean, for a guy who's born in Canada to Nigerian parents, I think it's very fair enough.
Absolutely.
If he thinks, hang on, where do I fall on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, definitely.
And also, we've seen other players who are quite clearly from one country and have gone to play for another country in the British Isles as well. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Irish people are still annoyed at Declan Rice.
Absolutely. I think as English people are still annoyed at Andy Townsend.
or Matt Elliott.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. What I think is interesting about this squad is, obviously, Southgate has spoken a lot before about trying to sort of create that sense of togetherness with a group while at the same time sort of making this meritocracy claim. But there are 15 players in this squad that weren't at the World Cup, weren't in the World Cup squad. Yep. And there's been a huge turnover since. And actually, it feels very coherent. And this seems like England are a better team now than they were in the World Cup. And
I think there's only one player that's surviving from Southgate's first game in charge. I think that's Jordan Henderson.
Wow.
All right. That's big. On Tomori though, like, is a man who's studying for, I think it's a business degree, so business management degree.
He said that.
That's very Southgate.
Yeah,
less Fortnite, more business studies.
Absolutely right. I was quite impressed with that when he said that. But yeah, I forget the comment, and I remember going, "Ooh."
And I can imagine Southgate thinking, "He's studying for a management degree. Isn't he? Oh, business. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
get Abraham with a start. Get Tomori with a start."
If England qualify, though,
they're going to qualify.
You expect them to qualify, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but maybe in the second game you can start who you want
against Bulgaria. Is it?
I also thought it was a good move by Southgate to call up Dean Henderson.
Yep,
I do, because he's been playing well overall. We made that high profile mistake, and his confidence would have been hit by that. But he came back and played well again.
Mm.
And Southgate's saying, look, you know, if it's there for you if you want it. There are a lot of young English goalkeepers around. I wouldn't be surprised if he rotates that third choice keeper around to give other people experience as well with the other options he's got. I thought it was a nice move. I thought it was a good thing to do, because he's realistically not going to play, but it gives him a good amount of experience.
It's a quick turnaround of fortunes, because a lot of people probably haven't heard of Dean Henderson until that mistake, but then man of the match.
Well, he's a Man United keeper, isn't he? He was on loan at Sheffield United last season, played very well. And I think apart from that's the problem with goalkeepers, isn't it? If Sheffield United finish 14th and just steadily go along and nothing massive happens to them all season, you wouldn't even ever see Henderson play much, because he wouldn't be on TV that much and he wouldn't be getting the headlines. But as soon as they make a big high profile mistake against a big team, everyone knows who they are.
Yeah, so Madison's pulled out of injuries as Delph. Wan-Bissaka wasn't there with injury, although would he have got in? Not sure, but there's no Dele Alli, no Jesse Lingard, Kyle Walker, Eric Dier. These were sort of regulars in previous Southgate squad. Oxlade-Chamberlain as well.
He's playing his way back to fitness, though. It's a bit different, isn't it?
Well, Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dele Alli, who maybe argue as well. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain is one I sort of touted as one of those starting positions he could have. But you would expect Southgate to manage these situations well and speak to the players individually, because it doesn't always happen. They hear about it in the press. Whereas if you've had players who have played for you before and played well and put in a shift, I think you owe it to them to just say, by the way, you're not in the squad now, but it's always open the door, blah, blah, blah. Because someone like Kyle Walker, very experienced international, but I mean, there's an awful lot of competition at that right back spot. But as we've said before, he knows what Walker offers. He knows what he can get out of him.
It's important to say that it's not always open. I mean, it wouldn't be open when they're like 60.
Well, it's not open to Joe Hart.
No.
it's something we can...
You know, it's always open for you. For you, you know.
What are you doing here?
It's not open to Joe Hart because he kept stubbing his toe on the doorframe.
It's a nasty one.
But Liverpool seem to be content to let Oxlade-Chamberlain just tick along. They don't really need him at this point. Yeah. They seem to be happy to let him play the occasional cup game or Champions League game, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be a while before he starts playing regularly again, I think.
Yeah.
I heard talk this week that Dele Alli is, I can't remember who reported it, but there's talk that Dele Alli's reining back his commercial commitments and has hired a personal trainer to try and get himself back on proper speed.
Well, as well with Southgate, he'll know, or you would think a manager like him would know the different personalities in there. So if you drop a player and say, right, you know, come on, you might need to kick up the arse. But perhaps, as you just said there, for someone like Dele Alli, maybe he does. Mm. You know, so again, it's a very difficult one. What did you think? Jamie Carragher suggested that Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's probably the starting right back for England, you would suspect at the moment, he said that he could be converted to a central midfielder, a bit like Fabinho has been in the past. Yeah, divided opinion among certain coaches.
Well, he actually said that he modelled his game on Steven Gerrard, and he was a sort of a playmaker when he was younger. I saw that same interview, and he said that he's happy to play anywhere.
Yeah,
and
he did say that, didn't he?
He even said, if the boss considers me a right back at the moment, I'm happy with that. It's like, hang on.
Yeah.
It's mad to think that isn't a specialised position in his mind.
I know. I mean, it's an interesting.
Was it 12,000 assists he got last season?
Yeah. I think it was just slightly more.
I've heard other people say that they perhaps would like to see him play a bit further forward, because if you were going to attribute a weakness to his game, it would be that he leaves gaps and that he's defensively not as strong as he is going forward. So, I mean, I don't see why, but not an awful lot of teams play with like a traditional right side midfield player now, do they?
No, because when you have a player like him, you just give the whole right side to him.
Yeah.
And that's something that perhaps was popularised in recent years by Danny Alves, of course, or Mike Horn or something.
People say
that
quite often, don't they, about sort of pacey attacking fullbacks. Yeah. Other than Gareth Bale, I can't really think of many players that started off as fullbacks and moved further up.
Made a proper transition.
Exactly, yeah. People talk about it looking like it would make sense a lot. Yeah. Eboué was an example, and that didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
Eboué man.
It doesn't really happen. Eboué man, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I remember Steve McLaren playing Wayne Bridge in left midfield once.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
He'll do that.
That's into left field.
Yes, very good, Jim. But I tell you what, who would be a fan of I tell you who would love to see Trent Alexander-Arnold play central midfield would be Kieran Trippier, Kyle Walker, yeah, Aaron and Wan-Bissaka. I think those three are going, keep going with this.
I think they go around the England camp just remarking all his luggage and stuff to midfielder.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Just tracking back in inappropriate situations. Yeah.
Who'd you fancy for left back then? Chilwell over Rose, would you?
Yeah, I think Chilwell.
I think so.
I would have Chilwell in there, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm pleased that Joe Gomez is back in the squad. Because I think he's brilliant. But but Tomori, though, I mean, it'd be interesting what he could do. Would it be unlikely for him to start the game?
Well, I think...
Do you know what Southgate's like? He does believe in players.
He does, and I wonder if he is here to sort of lock him down into England, so I think,
Yeah,
three minutes at the end of the match.
Well, I was going to say, you don't have to start him then. True. I think we'll definitely see Tammy Abraham feature.
Yes,
because Tammy Abraham. So. Yeah, I think Tammy Abraham's... It's obviously great to see him do his stuff, but it's very good for England because on the wings, England look pretty decent. You've got Sterling, Sancho and Rashford vying those three for sort of two of those positions you'd expect. And there are one or two players, like you could have Barkley or even Mason Mount or Maddison, if he was fit, of course, maybe play one of those positions. They interpret the role a little bit differently. But that central striker, the old-fashioned kind of number nine, even though... plays it slightly differently. You've obviously got Harry Kane, Callum Wilson's behind him. There is a little bit of a gap between those two in terms of quality, but Wilson's still good. There's no disrespect to him, but Kane, you'd hope is one of the best centre forwards in the world. But actually, Tammy Abraham coming along could bridge that gap somewhat. Yeah. Still a young player, but has been very impressive.
You can see him hurdling Callum Wilson. I think until qualification is done, I can see Southgate playing a pretty strong team. I can see him playing Sterling, Sancho and Kane.
Yeah.
And saying, look, we've got to get this done. Yeah. And then we gear up towards the tournament, peaking at the right time for the tournament, which means he might give other players a bit more experience. But it is important to tie Tammy Abraham up. And as far as I've got a bit of a cynical view about this whole thing. Tammy Abraham might do this and he might do that. To me, it smacks of people wanting to write a story, wanting content.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because the bottom line is this. If you are not sure which international team you want to represent, don't accept a call up to a squad that involves a competitive fixture, because you can't very very well sit on the bench and go, oh, by the way, no, I'm not coming on. So if you're accepting the call up in an international break which involves competitive fixtures, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to be ready to play for the team.
Isn't that exactly what he's done though?
Yeah,
exactly.
He has done that. Yeah.
Yeah, accepting the call up is making that decision.
But I don't think Abraham. I mean, I think as you say, look, I think this is a sort of column inches for column inches sake. I think Tammy Abraham, he's obviously English, but he has descent from other nations. And yes, there may well have been a chat within his family. I'm sure that perhaps family members would have said, "Oh, we'd like you to play for this nation." And again, would he? I think the a spokesperson for the Nigerian FA. I forget which player it was about, but they would sort of spin the yarn of, you will be a legend here. You'll play a lot more minutes. Whereas England, there's a lot more competition for places. But I think it's a bit of a non-starter, really.
Well, Tammy Abraham did say, "I love both nations." Talking about England and Nigeria, I haven't decided yet. And he said that on the 2nd of October.
He did, but I think that
he's making the decision for him clearly by putting him in the squad. As Paul Merson said, if you're going to walk past a barber's every day, you're going to get a haircut.
Exactly.
So,
but I think with
you're at risk of playing.
Here with Tammy Abraham, he's a young player and. As we've mentioned, some players, an odd example would be Vinnie Jones, who got to a stage in their career and they thought, well, I'm not going to play for in that case, England. Mm. So who? Well, I could maybe go and play for Wales. You know, so Tammy Abraham.
I'm a proud dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Tammy Abraham doesn't want to be in the situation where he says, no, I want to play for England. I don't want to play for Nigeria, where quotes can be dragged one way or the other. And then in, say, 5 or 6 years' time, he goes, oh, actually, I will play for Nigeria. He wants them to feel...
But is it also the other way around? It's also a bit like he's got the doubt in his mind because maybe less than 3 months ago, He was probably miles away because people had big doubts about his ability in the Premier League.
Yeah. And it might be a huge thing in his family that they've, you know, since it looked like he was going to become a professional footballer, they might have dreamed of him playing for Nigeria. You never know. It might be a very, very emotional, difficult decision for him to make.
And when Schürrle did it at like 31. Yeah.
Right,
that's World Cup.
The writing's on the wall.
if his father's from Nigeria and sort of introduced him to football, he may sort of think, oh, but I want to play for... Exactly. My father's.
I do like speculate about people's families. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, we speculate about yours enough, Peter.
Yeah,
and
I know.
We apologise.
Right?
How is Stuart doing?
He's all right. Spoke to him last night. He's cooking. Yeah, fine.
He's good.
He'll be at the Newcastle Ramble Live show. So,
oh, really? That's a bit late for him, though.
Press the flesh with him there. Yeah, no, he'll have to get up early, if anything.
Because he likes to get to bed about 4 and get up at 1, right?
Yeah. No, he goes to bed at 6 and gets up at 1, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
You'll have to just lump it, won't he?
We could change the time if you want.
I'm sure he's got an opinion on Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy. Oh. There's some big beefy beef going on
there. Is it just me? Or like, you know, like when Donald Trump says terrible things, obviously the Twitter share price just seems to go up and up. It proper skyrockets because they can't get rid of him because he's such a big part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how much of a big story this was going to be yesterday. No, everyone was pining with their jokes.
It transcended.
Wow. Yeah,
it really did.
A lawyer friend of mine pointed out something I find very interesting. He said, if you look at Colleen Rooney's statement, it's like been lawyered up. It's libel proof.
Yeah,
she doesn't mention individuals. She mentions accounts.
Yeah,
so at the end, when she says, it's Rebecca Vardy's account.
Yes. Yeah.
Therefore, just so she doesn't get herself in any legal hot water herself. I mean, although for the statement, she mentions accounts and not people.
Presumably, if you have any commercial representation at all, they will have access to your Instagram account, which is where you make most of your cash when it comes to influence and things like that. So there probably would be more than one eye on your Instagram account.
What if it's Jamie?
Well, the story is, Jamie, of course, in case you missed this, is that Colleen Rooney has been posting things on her personal Insta account and they were being leaked to the press. Now, I sort of think to myself, if you don't want stuff leaked to the press, don't put it on social media. I appreciate you can lock it down.
No,
and
but
you can make
it private.
I know, Jim, but
It is a private account. I think you've both got a point there.
We're both right, Jim.
But there is a close friends option that you can do on Instagram as well where you choose who can view it.
Well, and Colleen was saying that she posted a lot of stuff. Someone was leaking it and, you know, in sort of detective like sleuth like through all the various accounts.
Wagatha Christie, as people have called it.
That was trending on Twitter. That's how big it was. A joke about it was trending.
I didn't see
every
that.
Single trending topic for about 5 hours yesterday was related to this.
Yeah, and including Colleen Rooney spelt wrong.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Extinction Rebellion were gutted.
Yeah. So anyway, she went through it all the different accounts, and the account that seemed to be
she made it so that only Rebecca Vardy's account could view the stories.
Yes, and the stories were still getting leaked.
She made up some fake ones about gender selection for a baby in Mexico.
Right.
Something about their house flooding.
Basement flooding.
Yeah, and something else as well, and that they all went through. So I wonder what it is about being married to Wayne Rooney that's made her so good at being such a sleuth.
I also
Jim Campbell.
I also enjoyed the part of the tweet where she said, this has been a burden in my life for a few years now. She's playing the long game. She's playing the long game.
Oh, yeah.
A few years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Imagine if Wayne and Jamie were still in the England squad.
Yeah.
Can we not?
Here's a picture of them.
Vardy's still got something to offer.
Here's a picture of them together being pals.
No.
But will Wayne and Jamie just not worry about it?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
I don't think
get on with it, will they? Yeah, do you still be pals?
I know.
It's all just a big shame, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, Pete. You're absolutely right. Speaking of which, let's have some emails with Petey D. You email short football ramble day.
Hello to Craig. Hello, Ramblers. Your recent chat about the two Gary Stevens for England. Made me remember the time when two Scott Fitzgeralds played for Brentford at the same time. This is from 2005-2007. One playing up front and the other in defence. To distinguish between the two, match reporters and referees use their middle initials. Scott B. Fitzgerald in defence and Scott P. Fitzgerald up front on loan from Watford.
Scott F. Fitzgerald.
Before signing on a permanent deal. To sort this out and to avoid future confusion, Scott B. Fitzgerald became Brentford manager in 2006 and released Scott P. Fitzgerald on a free transfer in 2007. Wow. Yeah, you having a bit of that?
A lot of people pointed out that there were two Gary Stevens in the 1986 World Cup squad, not a 1990 World Cup squad.
Yeah, we had an apology from the original emailer, which I can't read out now then.
But they interestingly enough, they were listed as Gary M. Stevens and Gary A. Stevens.
Yeah.
So it must be a thing. And of course, we've got two Hendersons in the England squad at the moment.
Yeah, we do. Mm. And two Harrys.
Harrys.
Yeah.
Why not? Hello to Johnny Benton. I have the pleasure of living in Norwich, and although I'm not a Norwich fan, I still keep up with their results, although it was not hard to notice how bad they were against Villa. My attention was, however, drawn to a reader's letter to one of our local rags complaining about the appearance of young Aston Villa fan Prince George and his family at Carrow Road.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The letter's hilarious, but the appearance of the Royals themselves does not seem to be the issue, but more the fact that they were seated in a home fan-only section in the ground. The reader was upset that Prince George was jumping for joy at each Villa goal, and had they not been 30 rows away, would have found it difficult not to approach a club steward and force them to ask the Royals to leave. Whilst the image of a steward trying to ask the Royal family to leave and sit with the Villa fans is amusing in itself, my favourite part of the reader's letter is the outlandish claim at the end. The disgruntled Norwich fan claims that having four more loyal and not Royal fans in the city stand might have had an effect on the results.
Nice.
Enjoyable.
I was just looking at the 1986 England World Cup squad again. Also, Trevor Stephen was in there.
Trevor Stephen.
Stephen Hodge.
I should say that there are three Harrys, of course, in the current England squad. Not
Maguire, Kane and Winks of course. Yeah.
But Prince William, Aston Villa fan, loves it, doesn't he?
Mm. They were
well, at least he's sticking to his team. Like usually when
David Cameron.
David Cameron, was it West Ham?
Well, he pretends to support Villa, doesn't he? Right, but he mentioned West Ham.
But Prince William is actually into football. He plays in a five-a-side league in London somewhere.
Is he?
Yeah, he plays.
Snipers.
Peter Donaldson.
No, I mean, I bet there's loads of snipers.
Oh, protecting him.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, like that just must take a lot of money to sort out. Are his subs? I bet they're about thousands of pounds.
He pays £7.
Prince Harry, you said.
No, William.
William. Okay.
But with your track record, we start talking about a member of the royal family and you just simply say snipers. I think Marcus can be forgiven there.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
Well, just give him a reducer. Evening, gents. Mark West says, after the recent trend for finding footballers with the same name in the same team, I thought you'd draw your attention to Ligue 1 side Metz. They have two Adama Traores on their books. In addition to a Boubacar Traore as well. Three Traores are better than one, they said.
There are a lot of Traores around football, aren't there? They're also rock bottom of Ligue 1. So yeah.
A lot of Dembélés as well.
It's funny, it moves in cycles, isn't it? It used to be a lot of Diawaras knocking around, a lot of cameras.
Yeah.
A lot of cameras for a while.
Where's the cameras gone?
It's Prince William again, isn't it?
There's
a lot of Sissokos around at the moment.
Yep, that's right.
Hi, PED. This is from, who have we got here? Rob. Back in the, we talked about Kevin Keegan signing an autograph that somebody didn't want. Back in the O'Neill heyday, I somehow wound up in the director's box of Villa Park for a Birmingham derby with the Villa team full to the brim with England regulars back then. The game was graced with the presence of none other than Don Fabio Capello.
Ooh.
At half time, me and my colleague joined the queue to make the England gaffer. After a long wait, we approached the great man and realised what the hold up was. Trevor Francis had somehow weaseled his way into chatting to Capello, obviously in fucking Italian, and had been chewing his ear off so none of us ordinary folk could get a word in edgeways. When we finally got the chance to ask for Capello's signature, as he was passing it back to us, Francis snatched the paper and added his own shitty scribble, thus pissing all over our chips and drastically reducing its future market on the future memorabilia market.
Yeah, involved Trev.
And also, Alassane Ndiaye had a chant for his short time at Crystal Palace to the tune of the Whitney Houston classic, I Will Always Love You. Ndiaye. Works.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah. Liam, thank you for that one.
Nice
if
one.
You want to get to the show, this is how you can do it. Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete
is reading it out. Well done. Appreciate that, PT. Now let's have a break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
Yeah, if you want to come and see us live, ramblelive.com is the place to get tickets, and shows are running out fast. We've already done 140 of them. We're doing 140 more. Tonight we'll be at the Shepherd's Bush Empire in London. I don't know if there's any tickets left for that.
Might be one or two.
Possibly. Maybe. Might be worth turning up, seeing if there's any returns. Next week we're at Sheffield, Guildford and High Wycombe. The week after that, it's Leeds and Newcastle. The week after that is Norwich, Birmingham and Salford. And then we're off to the US and Canada. So ramblelive.com to get your tickets. We don't know when we're going to be doing live shows again. So if you want to take your chance, take your chance now.
Wowzers.
Well, it was a 2.5 year gap between the last live show and then this run. So get involved, people. Do get involved. Right, let's go to Group D in the European Championship qualifying. This Saturday, or tomorrow as we like to call it, Georgia host Ireland. Ireland, top of the group, with 11 points from 5 matches.
Yeah.
They're pretty well positioned, obviously, top of the group. Denmark second on 9, Switzerland third with 8 points, so they've got a game in hand. Then Switzerland and Denmark play each other on that Saturday. It's a very important game, this, for Ireland.
Yes.
If they win that, obviously the others will take a point or three off each other. So they've been in a very, very good position indeed. But then after this, Ireland go to Switzerland, then host Denmark. So if they can get a little bit more clear blue water between them and those two, then they've really got a chance to qualify for this tournament. And let's be honest, we'd love big Mikko McCarthy at the Euros, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. And they've got a brilliant chance. I mean, crucially, they didn't lose to Switzerland at home and they didn't lose to Denmark away.
Yes.
And that's been massive for them. Now, if they don't slip up and do anything silly, they've got a fantastic chance. They don't score many goals.
No.
They're not brilliant to watch.
They don't concede many.
But I think it's also, absolutely, but it's also fair to say, isn't it, that when the draw happened for this UEFA Euro 2020 qualify, they'd have taken this group all day long.
Yeah, I think so.
They've avoided some big hitters in there.
Definitely, yeah.
And so they need to take advantage of it. And so far they have. And that Denmark-Switzerland, if they could trade out a draw, I mean, they'd be laughing. And Ireland have got some good players as well.
Well, you know? Aaron Connolly coming in.
Yeah, and Robbie Keane is only 39 and he's on the bench anyway. So,
God's sake. You think you should probably back him? Yeah, you'd probably back him to be a bit of a poacher towards
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Crucially,
give him 10 minutes at the end.
They don't need him.
No.
That's the thing.
It's all about defence with Ireland, though. They've got the two boys from Sheffield United at the back.
Yep.
Got Jeff Hendrick and Hourihane in there.
They're both having good seasons as well.
They are. And the problem is scoring goals. But when you say it's a problem, they're still top of the group.
Exactly, yeah.
So the defence is crucial. I think they've only conceded 2 goals, which is quite impressive. They've scored 6 goals in 5.
When you say they don't get many goals, right? I think they've got, including the squad now and the recent call-ups, there's 13 strikers they've used or could use or have had them around the squad. Between those 13 strikers, they've scored 22 goals. Oh, that's between them. No, that's, between them.
Do you know what? That's actually higher than I thought.
That's a man who smoked his last cigarette going around his house trying to find butt ends, yeah. Just trying to make one big cigarette.
17 of those have come from Shane Long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, let's hope that Aaron Connolly can hit the ground running like he did.
Well, they need it. They need something.
I'm not sure if he'll play, will he?
Well, in that squad, James McLean is the top scorer with 10 goals. But then the next one down, Jeff Hendrick and 35-year-old Glenn Whelan, who have both got two. Mm. So there's a lack of goals there. But like we said, I mean, they only put three past Gibraltar over two games. But then, when all said and done, they are top of the group and they have been away to Denmark and they faced Switzerland. And the encouraging thing for them is in both of those games, Ireland went a goal down fairly late on with about 15 minutes to go and they got themselves an equaliser. Yeah. So perhaps we're making something out of nothing.
It's
like Mick McCarthy knows what he's doing, Jim.
It is surprising that they're scoring so few goals. Have you seen a goal
like
in real life? They're so big. there's so much to aim at.
Yeah, there isn't there.
I wonder if they'll just play, because I think against Denmark, away, which obviously weren't possibly the first or second trickiest game in the group. They drew 1-1. Yeah. They only play one striker anyway. So,
well, you're thinking they go full Craig Levein?
Four, 1-0. It's a natural next step. Yeah. But I'd like to see him there. I know it's a cliche. I know people will roll their eyes when I say it, but tournaments are better with Ireland.
But normally you don't want to see him there.
So No, I do. I just think it's better when Ireland are in a tournament, isn't it?
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the fans are brilliant.
They're
and it's brilliant. Always interesting.
Singing Westlife with the Police and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
No, I do. I do want to see them there.
Obviously.
I genuinely do.
Of course we do.
And now I'm sounding like I'm protesting too much. I actually do.
Well, look, you supported them in the 94 World Cup, didn't you, Luke?
Yeah, I did support them in the 94 World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just supported Paul McGrath.
Yeah, there you go. What about elsewhere in the international scene? Sergio Ramos could pick up his 168th cap for Spain on Saturday away in Norway. Mm. And if he does, he'll become the most capped player in Spain's history.
You know, Ramos has never been sent off for Spain.
I was trying to find that earlier.
That sounds mad.
Is that true?
Today. Yeah, yeah. It's nuts, isn't it?
Shut up.
Yeah. It could happen. This could be, wouldn't it be brilliant? It breaks the record for most caps.
It would be surprising if it happened against Norway away. I think Spain should
maybe
have.
Maybe he's got a point to prove.
Well, maybe, but I think Spain
I
should
can
have
do this at every level.
The Spain should have. Well, he has done, hasn't he?
He's also got a chance. I mean, I think Ahmed Hassan for Egypt is the record men's caps. He's got 184.
He's on for it.
Yeah.
Ramos's career,
by the way, for Spain.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Sergio Ramos's career is a wonderful, wonderful thing for so many reasons.
Oh, God, yeah. It's got everything.
It is extraordinary, Jim. It is extraordinary. So many trophies, played for some of the best sides in the last kind of 10, 20 years at club and international level. Yet, as we've seen before, sometimes the way he carries on is like a defender that you play against on a Sunday morning. You know, 23 or 24 red cards.
He also breaks the mold because if you look at these players over the years with that amount of caps, it tends to be one of two things. It tends to be someone who's a standout player for a smaller nation.
Or a goalkeeper.
Or a keeper. Mm.
And obviously Casillas is the example there.
And what's Buffon got? 176,
he's got it's an incredible amount. Absolutely incredible. 167 caps.
A lot of players. The majority of professional football players won't play that amount of first-team appearances.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
He's got 90 goals in his club career and 21 for Spain.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Decent.
He covers all of football.
He started giving himself penalties a few years ago.
No one's arguing with him. He's got a documentary coming out,
and he
posted a picture on the aforementioned Instagram with all of his tattoos rubbed out. Somebody had done a fairly poor Photoshop job on rubbing all his tattoos out on his back. But it just looked like he's got back knee.
Poor old Sergio. But the thing is, with Ramos, if you were to name, say, in the last 10, 20 years, your kind of best 11 or something like that, or even like the best 11 in Spain, I don't think people would necessarily go for him.
I think people think of the red cards, don't they, and the shithousery.
I know, but his stats are amazing.
They are. I think that definitely holds up to any kind of scrutiny.
You can't stress it enough. But
there's an element of him where the gap between him, his brilliant best and his worst, is massive.
That is the crux of this, isn't it? That
he'll do something in a really bad situation where the last thing you want is for someone to get sent off.
Which is why, how come so many Spain bosses have given him so many caps consistently, bearing in mind their dominance for that period?
Because he gets so much rest. Because he sits it out.
Maybe that's the key to
his average. I mean, most players plan for 95 minutes. He only plans for about 60, so he gets plenty more
and
time.
And also, the world revolves around Real Madrid. in many ways.
Yeah. Well, not at the moment, but yeah, I take your point. Well, good luck, Sergio. He doesn't need it. One to watch for next week, everybody. South Korea travel to North Korea in a World Cup qualifier.
Snipers. For goodness sake. There will be snipers in Pyongyang all over the planet.
Yeah, I think they're playing it in the DMZ, are they not?
Are they? They can't play it in the DMZ, can you?
I don't know.
Half and half.
I think you mean the DMZ, mate.
South Korea. Aren't South Korea playing Sri Lanka today as well?
I think they are.
Because the group is North Korea, South Korea, Turkmenistan, Lebanon and Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And North Korea are currently top of the group, but South Korea have got a game in hand.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't know where the game's being played. I haven't checked. It's listed as a North Korean home game.
I think it's in Pyongyang.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Speaking of 94, do you remember when they played and South Korea won, got through, and then North Korea just refused to play any international competitions for 10 years?
No, I don't think South Korea got through their group, did they? Or do you mean qualified?
Qualified.
Because North Korea, when they last qualified for a World Cup, didn't they try and pick an extra striker instead of a keeper?
He had to be listed
as a keeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tried to circumvent the rules and they backfired.
That's right. So, yeah, he never played a minute, I don't think.
Gutting.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
because it was that chat about Niall Quinn in 1990.
Yeah.
Apparently, but I'm not sure that was true.
About him being the third choice keeper.
Yes.
But it might be true because they have changed it. They changed the law since then.
Did they? Yeah, but North Korea fell foul of it.
Could be apocryphal.
Weren't there a couple of things with that where when it was going well for North Korea? Because I think they had a couple of respectable results, didn't they? Was it Kim Jong-un at that point? I think it was Kim Jong-un. They were saying that the manager was receiving instruction from him via tiny mobile phones that were too small to see.
All right. Amazing. That sounds likely.
Sounds about right.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
It's going to be playing in Pyongyang, but they're not going to broadcast it, probably. Just in case South Korea give them a tonkin.
Yeah, right enough.
Do that and do it. Do you remember that really edited, I hate it again, you know, kind of international relations, but that terrible clip of them. Remember they played, North Korea played Brazil and Brazil hammered them and they edited it to pretend that they'd scored.
I remember that, yeah. Dear me.
Goodness sake,
people. Did anyone see Germany play Argentina the other
day? Yeah. That was a ding dong, wasn't it?
Quite entertaining.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Yeah.
Germany got pegged back, didn't they? They went 2-0 up.
Yeah. Serge Gnabry's goal. If you see that again, Dennis Bergkamp-esque.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's so good.
Not enough was made of that for me.
Because there's nothing on there. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. And he's got a goal from that.
That touch to take him away from the two defenders or whatever it came in. Absolutely glorious. And it's not, you think it might sort of bob around and he gets it. Glorious touch and a delightful finish.
Then an assist very shortly afterwards as well.
Yeah, he's in great form.
Bergkamp-esque that was for
he's
me.
He's in great form.
I just wanted to say that. So there we are.
All right, let's do Betway's Four to Score then, shall we? Yeah. Each week, of course, we'll be participating in this Four to Score with Betway for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Four to Score entry is free. All you need to do is just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win, I think it's £150,000 this week.
Blimey.
Just double check. I'm fairly certain it's £150,000 this week. And we pick a goal scorer in their selected games every week. Head to betway.com/4to-score. That's /4 and then to score. To play, it is £150,000. Just confirm that. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, of course, and further T's and C's apply. It's International Week. Jim, you have Denmark v Switzerland.
Yep, I've gone for Christian Eriksen. It might seem obvious, but if you look at the Denmark squad, he's just so far out in front in terms of goals scored than everybody else. I think Yusuf Poulsen would be the next highest with six.
Eriksen's been on such good form as well this season.
But often when there's a situation like that comes along, it's a little bit of a holiday players, isn't it?
Well, James
you're being a knob behind it.
James Horncastle on the continent yesterday said what the best thing to look out for in international football is when the players all go back to their home nations
and
speak to local press. And he said he can't wait for Christian Eriksen to talk about what's happening at the Spurs at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So that's Christian Eriksen. Pete, you've got Norway v Spain.
I am going to go for the young gentleman, Joshua King.
You're going for a Norwegian player in that.
He's going to roast Sergio Ramos.
Well, I just thought they might get an early goal and then Spain will have to rally.
4-1
Sergio Ramos will get sent off. 4-1 Norway. But that's not the game.
No. Oh, right.
All right, Josh King. Bosnia, Finland is my game. I've gone for Miralem Pjanic, who I think will be captain because Dzeko doesn't appear to be in the squad. Uh-huh. Marcus?
Italy versus Greece, I've gone for Lorenzo Insigne.
Nice.
I was thinking about him or Immobile, but I went for Insigne. He likes a little goal at international level, and I would expect him to start. Pardon, Jim.
It's great radio, Jim. The four games are Christian Eriksen for Denmark, Switzerland; Joshua King, Norway, Spain; Miralem Pjanic for Bosnia, Finland; and Lorenzo Insigne for Italy v Greece. Betway.com/4 to score. It's free to play. Just pick the first goal scorers in each of those four games correctly to win £150,000 or a share of it. It rolls over, of course, if no one wins it. Bet the responsible way as well. BeGambleAware.org.
Absolutely right. Now it's time for Go for Gold. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, but you to play the game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
Lord. All right, today's mystery footballer clues come from Finn. I was born in the Netherlands on the 19th of December, 1966. I signed for Feyenoord in 1990 and won the Dutch Golden Shoe in 1994.
Stop. Pierre Van Vossen.
No.
Stop.
Nice guess.
Do you like that?
Pierre Van Hooijdonk.
No. I moved to the Premier League in 1987, where I won the FA Cup, League Cup, UEFA Cup Winners Cup, and the UEFA Super Cup.
Stop. Bolo Zenden?
No.
That's a good guess.
Stop. No. I didn't mean stop. I meant, can you repeat the clues?
Okay. I moved to the Premier League in 1987, where I won the FA Cup, League Cup, UEFA Cup Winners Cup, and the UEFA Super Cup.
I think I feel like I know enough about him to guess, but I can't think of a Dutch player.
Stop. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank?
No.
Oh,
I played every game for my country at the 1994 World Cup in the USA.
It might not be Dutch. That could be the little...
Yeah, yeah.
So he played for Chelsea.
How do you know that?
97. I've given you that.
What do you mean?
97, that's when they won all those two Cup Winners' Cup. And
that seems to
tally up. He could have played for... I was going to say Cup Winners' Cup.
Yeah.
I was thinking Liverpool because 2001 when they won all those trophies.
He's giving you one there.
Chelsea.
Yeah, you helped me out earlier in the season.
I did. Helped you out. Gave you it.
Well, I was helping there. I still got to put the ball over the line.
Carry on.
I finished my career at Stoke City.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Stop. Hamilton Rickard.
Lovely to hear the name, but no.
Yeah, he's too. He wouldn't
did
be old enough.
Chelsea?
No, I was suddenly thinking he played in the Netherlands and it's clearly not the right answer.
No further explanations needed.
I apologise, everybody.
Last clue from Finn. I stand at 6 foot six tall.
Stop. Tori Andrew
Flo. Flo, yeah, it's got to be.
Incorrect.
Oh!
House wins.
No. Jim and Luke have still got
it.
Naughty.
Sorry.
House wins.
House wins.
Come on, boys.
You guys are quite the
sounds like a Dutch. Is it Ed De Hooy? Stop. Is it Ed De Hooy?
Could be.
Well, I mean, nah. He got a Volo Marcus as one, so I don't think he should really be. Luke Moore
wins. Ed De Hooy.
How about that?
You guys seem annoyed about that.
Well, because I swear you said top scorer or something.
I thought you said Golden Boot.
Golden Shoe. It's a different competition.
You sneak.
Golden Finn.
Is Golden Shoe best player then?
Golden Shoe. No, it's wrong. Golden Shoe is for goal scoring.
Yeah, Golden Shoe is
for
goal scoring.
He was awarded the Dutch Golden Shoe in 1994. The award is determined by the Dutch Footballer of the Year, guys. So have a bit of respect for
fair
Finn.
Fair enough.
And more importantly, have a bit of respect for me.
No, there's no respect for you, but fair enough, Finn, because if he's got us on a lovely little worded technicality, that's great play for Finn.
Yeah, apparently he won. The Dutch Footballer of the Year is called the Golden Shoe.
Well, that's that.
I just said 5 seconds ago. Let's go.
More accurately, it's called the Golden Schoen.
Yes, exactly.
Golden Schoen.
Well, if he'd have said that.
What ball of Van Het Jaar?
He threw me a dummy, but Luke Moore was there to sweep up.
There we go.
Well played, sir. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. It's been a pleasure. Myself and Jonathan Wilson are back tomorrow with the greatest games, which is well worth a turn of the head or a listen, as we might say.
Thank you
very much, Luke.
Hello, thank you very much. Thanks. Goodbye.
Cheers, Petey.
Before we go, who's the current holder of the Golden Shoe?
Is it Matthijs de Ligt?
It is. Yeah. You're on the Wikipedia page, aren't you?
Thank you, Jimmy.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.